Why don't you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. It's going to be quite the thing. If you're saved, someday when you leave this world, stand before God. Instead of saying, "Tell me, John, what did you see?" You'll know. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. And I look upon the face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through that promised land. What a day, a glorious day that will be. Do you know for sure if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven? Trevor was sharing in his testimony about his grandfather, good man. You would think he was saved, but he wasn't. You can play a pretty good game of religion. You really can. But that doesn't mean that you're saved. What we're going to look this morning at, Lord willing, I was debating about whether or not I should actually share this morning. But seeing as how the Lord has not given me any other message, we're going to preach it. Well, I'm going to preach it. I hope you will listen and worship God along with me. Mark chapter 10, beginning to read in verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, Mark chapter 10, verse 17, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." He answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Let's stop there for prayer, please. Father in heaven, we pray now, Lord, I'm trusting you that this is the message that you would have us share this morning. And so I pray, Lord, that as I share, that you would help me to share in love, that you would guard my heart. May it be pure. Cleanse me today, I pray. Anoint my lips and guard my lips, that only those things that are good for edifying will come out, and protect my mind. But Lord, I pray also too that our hearts will be sensitive by thy Holy Spirit to receive your word today. And should there be one here without Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we pray today that you would save them and use your word. You have promised faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You have said that in the parable of the sower, the seed that was sowed in the wayside, in the highway, the seed that was sowed on good ground was the seed of the word of God. We know that the birds in that parable was the devil wanting to snatch away the seed before it has time to take root. So we plead the blood of Christ, asking that the hands of Satan would be bound, that he would not have flight to steal the seed today. Be pleased, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. A simple title for my message this morning is simply found in verse 21. The one little phrase that he said this, verse 21 says, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest." This morning, simply what we want to do, we want to untitle the message, "One Thing Thou Lackest." And there is a terrible thing. This is not just a gospel message, because in conjunction with this message, I have also prepared a series of messages, a message entitled, What is the Church Lacking? So this is a build-up for my next message, What We as a Church Are Lacking. This today is a salvation message. What are we lacking this morning? And Jesus said to the rich young ruler, One thing thou lackest. I want us to look at several things this morning. And number one, if Jesus said to this young man, One thing thou lackest, obviously the man had many things. I want us to notice first off the bat what this young man did have. If we're going to see that he lacked one thing, but what did he have? Number one, this is not original, but I got it off of someone else because it was 7 points that all were alliterated. I liked it. I'm going to use it. I just forgot where I got it, and now it is original. The art of originality is the ability to forget where you got the information, all right? Mark chapter 10, in this seven little point, I saw someone, he had this. What did this young man have? Someone said this man had riches. In other words, he had money. If you have a title chapter above that little section in your Bible, you'll see that it was entitled, The Rich Young Ruler. If you go down to verse 22, it says that he had great possessions. He went away sorrowful. So what the man had was, number one, he had riches. Number two, what did he have? This fellow goes, he had respect. This was a respectable, I picture this young man as a clean cut for that time of day. A clean-cut individual, well-dressed man, and he was respectful. Young person, listen to me. I know we're living in a dressed-down society today, but listen to me, young person. You will never offend someone by dressing nice. Okay? I have heard many businessmen who say this. When they're looking for someone to hire, they don't want a scraggly-looking fellow. They want a nice, clean, respectable person. Okay? Now, I'm just sharing you what's been told to me. Okay? He was respectful. I envision a well-dressed man for that time. Be clean, neat and clean is what I'm saying. Be neat and clean. Well-dressed young man who was respectful. He said, please and thank you. The way he talked was respectful. And he comes to Jesus Christ and he said, good master. He was respectful the way he presented himself to others. Also, we also note that he was respected because he was a rich young ruler. To be a ruler means that you had a position of respect. So this man had respect. He was respectful to others and he had respect himself because he was a ruler. But notice also number three, under what he did have, he had requests. Someone said this, and when he was gone forth into the way, verse 17, there came one running. I am told that it is not very common for a man to be running in the Old Testament. So if this young ruler was found running, this man of respectable position, obviously the young man had something that he wanted addressed. And he had a question. In fact, we know by the end of verse 17, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He had something important to talk about. He had requests. He had questions. He had recognition. Notice this. He recognized, and this sort of goes along with respect, he recognized the authority of Jesus because this rich young ruler came running and kneeled to him, Jesus Christ. He recognized who he was approaching, Jesus. And he recognized Jesus' authority, and he said to him, notice this, he had the right words. He kneeled down in respect and in recognition of who Jesus was, and he said, good master. He had the right words. We talk to a lot of people today, and they have the right words about talking about church and about talking about good works and good deeds and all these good things, and we have the right lingo. But he wasn't saved. He had the right words. Someone also said that he had remembrance. Jesus, in replying to him, thou knowest the Ten Commandments. So obviously he had remembrance of the Scriptures. This young man knew what the Bible said, or at least he knew the Ten Commandments. So what did he have? He had riches, respect, request, recognition, right words, remembrance, or he knew the Bible. Look at verse 20. The young man had religion. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. The young man had religion. But now notice this. Even though he had religion, he still came looking for what? He still came looking for salvation. Now listen to me. Maybe you're here this morning and you have all those things. But when I ask you a question, do you have salvation? This rich young ruler had a big, and I use that point because it just was nice. It was nice all same. What this young man had, number two, what this young man was looking for. Even though he had all these things and someone took the time to put them all in nice little R's, he had all those things. But number two, what this young man was looking for was eternal life. Even though he had all these things, and this man had things. This man had religion. He had the Ten Commandments. He knew what the Ten Commandments said, and he even practiced the Ten Commandments. People would say today, he lived by the golden rule. Some might say, I'm a pretty good person. But yet he still lacked one thing. This man had, what the young man had, all kinds of things. What this young man was looking for, he was looking for eternal life. Now notice this, he knew he did not have it by the simple fact that that was the focus of his question. Even though he had religion, even though he had good works, even though he had all these things, he still knew that he did not have religion. Turn with me please to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Now, how did he know that he was still missing something? Trevor mentioned this morning in his testimony, he had gone forward in a church service one time, but he knew he still wasn't saved. He had all the right lingo, the right talk, the right walk. He went to church, but he still knew he wasn't saved. He was looking for something. And then Jesus showed him one day on the sign, a billboard sign, the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. Listen to me, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, the Holy Spirit has been working and moving in your heart. And I don't know how long you've been coming here, but listen to me, there will come a day when the Spirit of God will not strive with your soul because you've said no to the Christ so many times. There's only one sin that is unforgivable. And that's what? Denying of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's working your heart and life today. Don't reject Him, please. Because the Spirit of God will not always strive with man. And he knew that he was lacking something because Galatians chapter 3. Now remember, he had religion. He knew the Ten Commandments. He knew what the Bible said. And notice this. Regarding the Ten Commandments in Galatians chapter 3 verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. To what? To bring us unto Christ. Why? Because we know that we can't be saved through the law. And I'm going to show that to you here shortly. I'm going to show you physically. I'm going to show you with your own eyes a good example of how you can know that you can't be saved by doing the Ten Commandments. Well, first off the bat, we know that we can't obey all of it. And the Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 10, that if we offend in one, we're guilty of all. Okay? Law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. You see, even though he knew the Old Testament, he still knew that he was lacking something because the Old Testament economy and the law said, you're still falling short. There's something you're missing. He knew he was lacking something because the law told him so. The law that he had memorized brought him to a point which he knew he needed something more. And that's why Galatians 3:24 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Why? Because only in Christ can we be justified by faith. Is it any wonder in Romans chapter 10 verse 17 we read, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So that's what the young man had. what the young man was looking for. Now I want you to notice number three, what this young man was lacking. If you turn back to Mark chapter 10, the Gospel of Mark chapter 10, you can see all these things that go on down through the list. Mark chapter 10, he was come forth. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said in verse 18, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Now in this statement, in verse 18, let me stop here for a second. Jesus is not saying that he is not God. But he's getting us to realize that in making the statement that Jesus is good, you're also making the statement that Jesus is God. Okay? And Jesus said, hey, just realize what you're saying here. There's none good save one, that's God. Jesus is God. He wasn't refuting it. He was just bringing him to the point to realize, you better know what you're saying. I am God, and that's true. Thou knowest the commandments, verse 19, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. The golden rule. The golden rule. Yet he still knew he was lacking something. What this young man was lacking was simply this. And notice in verse 20, he said, all these have I observed from my youth. Can I tell you what the young man was lacking? He was lacking a sense of sin. I'm a pretty good person. I don't want to stray too much on this. He was lacking a sense of sin. I put this down. Note the area in which Jesus got him. When it came to mankind, he excelled, so to speak. He obeyed the Ten Commandments. He honored his father and his mother. He did not commit adultery. And I would add here, not that I'm trying to add to the Word of God, but because I have a further revelation of the Word of God. We also know this, that Jesus said, whoso looketh upon a woman with lust hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Isn't that what the Word of God says? We also know that if you hate your brother without cause, the Bible tells us if you hate your brother, you're guilty of murder. And this man says, and it's the same idea today, what do you mean? I'm a pretty good person. A pretty good person has no sense of sin, and pretty good people will die and go to hell. Did you know that? He was a pretty good person, wasn't he? But what does the text say? Jesus said to him, one thing thou lackest. He excelled, so to speak, at the law, but when it came to the commandments that deal with our duty to God, he failed. Notice some other commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Him only shalt thou serve. Thou shalt not covet. James 2:10 says this, keep all the commandments and yet offend in one point, you're guilty of all. Someone said this, he was like the man who looked into the mirror in James chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. He looked into the perfect law of liberty and forgot what kind of a man he was. Sinner. He was a pretty good person, but he lacked the sense that he was a sinner. And because he lacked the sense of that he was a sinner, he was unwilling to repent of his sins. Confess that he was a sinner. Now, I want to make this little illustration this morning. I'm not much for illustrations because usually I'm not very good. But I have here 10 rings. The top one is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second one, make no graven image. Take not the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. And last one is, next one, 9, is thou shalt not bear false witness. And the last one on the list in Exodus chapter 20 should be thou shalt not covet. We can keep the whole law. We can get to heaven. Because we don't need a Savior. We're perfect. However, what was the one thing this man lacked? A sense of sin. Because he was keeping some of the other ones, but he was forgetting about the one that thou shalt have no other gods before me. What was this young man's God? His money. He was coveting. And that one little commandment kept him from coming to God.
And that's just if he offended in one. There was more others that he offended. Do you see how offending in one can still send you to hell? Even one of the minor ones. Folks, listen to me. Maybe you're here today, and I don't know your heart and life, but maybe you think you're a pretty good person. One thing thou lackest. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. The reason why we know that we're all sinners is because we're all dying. We're all going to die someday. Our bodies are infected with disease. We get sick. We begin to die after the moment we're born. We begin to die. We are all sinners. Even pretty good people. Maybe you think you're a pretty good person today. And I'm not trying to doubt what kind of a person you may be. But I know this. If I offend in one point, that still sends me to hell. It still sends me to hell. And Jesus said to him, one thing thou lackest. Someone said he had no sense of sin. This is why Jesus replied as he did. The man was rich, so Jesus told him to sell all and come follow, and to follow him. Sell all your goods and give to the poor. He was coveting his money. He was a ruler, so he was told to come and follow Jesus. It was coveting his position. He was rich, he was a ruler, and he was a man of reputation. And so Jesus told him, then take up your cross and come follow me. What this young man was lacking, a sense of sin. Now notice this, number four. What the young man had a lot going for him. But he was looking for salvation. But he was lacking something, a sense of sin. Now I want you to notice this, number four, what this young man lost. Verse 22, it says this, he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He came just prancing away to Jesus. Look at me. That's how I picture him. Right? You laugh. But that's the way we approach Jesus sometimes. Pretty good. Pretty good. I give to the poor. I give to the church. Don't roast the preacher over dinner when I don't like his message. Buy him a coffee once every 2 months. Should be once a week. I'll set up a schedule for each day of the week. Just in case any of you are really convicted, because, you know, I can't spend my money in that coffee. I've got better than... We approach God pretty arrogant. And he came to God even though he was respectful. He was excited with glee. And then because he wouldn't acknowledge his own sinfulness, he walked away from the Savior. Much different than the way he approached him. What did he lose? He lost eternal life. I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you're just like this rich young ruler. You're a pretty good person. You're respectful. You do good unto others. You live your life by do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. But listen to me. Jesus still says to us today, one thing thou lackest, a sense of sin. Do you know that you're a sinner? All have sinned. He lacked eternal life. He came seeking, but he left sad. What this young man lost was abundant life. This is what Jesus promises, isn't it? Abundant life. But I want you to notice something else, what he lost. But I want you to notice lastly, what this young man rejected. Look at verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, what's the next word? Loved him. For you to sit here, for me to stand here and say I'm going to heaven because I'm a pretty good person. First off the bat, you know deep in your heart. I don't have to tell you. You don't need me to preach at you. You know there's something missing in your heart. Why? Because the rich young ruler, even though he knew he was good, still knew he was missing something. Right? Even though he was good, he still knew he was missing something. And you may be a pretty good person today, but you know deep down in your heart you're still missing something. But you'll not get it if you don't have a sense of sin, that you're a sinner. Because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to seek and to save that which was lost. And although this young man came looking, he was lacking. And he lost eternal life because why? He rejected the love of Jesus. Listen to me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Are you a good person today but not saved? You say, well, I'm a pretty good person. Well, he was too, but he messed up in one little point. And that one little point can still kill us and send us to hell for all eternity. Don't reject the love of God. Now, don't be like this rich young ruler who left sad because he put other things, his possessions, before making sure that he was saved first. Now, I said all that to say this. There's things lacking in the church of God today, too. And I wish I could say there's one thing that the church is lacking. So far, off the top of my head, it's not our church, other people's churches. Other people's problems just sort of seem to come to me. I've got a list of 9. I don't have time to even begin that one. So on Thursday, I'll start it and leave it for next week. There's things lacking in the church of God too today, folks. Some big problems today in the church of God. And we will never overcome it if we don't first acknowledge that we got a problem. Right? We will never overcome it if we don't first acknowledge we have a problem. And folks, the church of God today has a problem. And I wish I could say it was one thing. But unfortunately, when I talk about the church of God, I'm also talking about my own life, because I am part of the church of God, aren't I? We're saved, we're part of the church of God. But let's finish today's message off. Are you saved today? You say, I'm a pretty good person. That may be, but one thing you're lacking. One thing you're lacking. Will you leave this service today like that rich young ruler? Or will you come fall down at Jesus' feet and say, Lord, please save me? I was really debating whether about reading this message this morning, but I got an email this morning. I get these devotionals sent to me via email, but I also get them sent to me in hard copy in a form of a booklet. And this morning's email, this devotional that I checked again in the book this morning, was simply this, from the book of Acts chapter 16. What must I do to be saved? Just because you've come to church here all your life doesn't mean that you're saved. Doesn't mean that you're saved. Don't leave here today without first making sure you're saved. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made known unto salvation. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're willing to admit that you're a sinner and believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins and then call upon him to save you, do you know what? He will save you. Guaranteed. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, you know that I have really struggled to share this message, and maybe that's because Satan doesn't want this going out today, because, Lord, I don't assume anybody is saved. Because I've seen too many scary scenarios of people going through life, but yet who are not really saved. Maybe, Lord, there's someone in our midst today. Maybe there's 2 or 3. I don't know, Lord. All I can see is the outward, but you see the heart. And they're pretty good people. You ought to look at their life, you would think they're a Christian. But there's one thing they're lacking. Help them, Lord, to see today. Dear Holy Spirit, I pray that you would soften their heart. This is so very, very important. Bind the hands of Satan. Lord, in these few moments, just focus our thoughts on this. If they're here this morning and they're a pretty good person, there's one thing they're lacking. And that is the fact that they are a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. And whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Help them, Lord, today to see that they are a sinner. And even the smallest of sin, the wages of sin. Thank you, Lord, because you didn't name the sin. You just said sin. The wages of sin is death. Help them to see that they are a sinner. Open their eyes to that truth. But help them, Lord, to see that Jesus loves them. Beholding them right now, this very moment, Jesus is looking on us and loves us. Help them to believe that. And help them to believe that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sin. His body was broken and beaten on behalf of us in our place. His blood was shed so that we could have forgiveness and remission of sins. He was buried and he rose again from the grave the third day according to the scriptures. And he offers new life to all who will call upon him to save them. Help them to do that today. And thank you for that promise. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Help them to be saved today. But Lord, also as we look at this, there is a big need in the church today, because we are lacking many things that is getting in the way of us experiencing your blessing, your hand of bounty and blessing. Help us, Lord, to examine our own hearts, to stop pointing fingers at other people and look at ourselves in the light of your word and bring us to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to stand and sing, please, in closing, number 396. Nothing between just the first and last verse, my soul and the Savior. Not of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. There's nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. Can you say that today? That's a hard question. Listen to me. If you're not sure that you're saved today, I want you to come forward. I want you to come talk to me. Don't leave this church, this building, without making sure you're saved today. Don't leave this building without making sure there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. Christian, listen to me. There's a lot of garbage that gets between ourselves and the Lord sometimes so that we hinder His blessing. Don't you leave this place either without making sure you're right with God. And you can't be right with God. Listen to me. You can't be right with God if you're not right with one another. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. If you need to come, you come. We'll meet you at the front and we'll pray with you. Stand and sing first and last verse.